Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Welcome back. And as you know, it's now or never. We're seeing that things continue just because we've changed some makeup of the party in our government. It doesn't mean our problems have been solved. And I'll be the first one to dive into a different perspective than everybody else. And so, and as a matter of fact, I may be actually speaking and articulating the way you're feeling, many of you, and you possibly have already had these same thoughts because, folks, you've been listening to this show too long. You're starting to take a constitutional context when it comes to our government. But before we do that, I need to do a go back on our private property, Fourth Amendment, and so forth regarding the strategy, because we were just talking about that. And we're going to get into big tech. But I want you to understand on a bigger perspective, a bigger, a more macro view, that if you wanted government to assume full control without it being obvious that they have, the government has to get agents to do their bidding for them. Or, you know, some organization, if they want to take full control of a body or what have you, they need to get agents to do their work for them, to do the dirty deeds, to get them into full control. And so it dawned on me as I was having this conversation with a few technical people and then an idiot at Best Buy, who Best Buy employee, who was a self-professed Windows guy. I don't know what that means anymore. Anyway, the Windows 11 OS that's coming out, I'm not sure if you knew this, and so this begged this question in me talking to other people. Has Microsoft gone down another Vista moment? Now, if you remember, Windows 7 was extended an extra long amount of time because Microsoft came out with Vista. They deployed it, they rammed it down everybody's throats, and they said, swallow the pill, swallow the pill, swallow the pill. And nobody swallowed it. As a matter of fact, it just became this unacceptable leap forward in the OS. The people said, we're not giving up our level of privacy. We're not going to do that. And so Windows 10 kind of came out, and there are ways you can turn some things off. But every new release, Windows is taking us to that next level. So if you haven't connected the dots already, Windows, Microsoft, is an agent for the government. Just so you understand this, what they're doing is they're creating rules and laws. They're going into this complex level of contract law to get you to surrender your sovereignty so that you can't defend yourself, so that the Constitution can't defend you. Folks, we're being played, and we're being played big time. But I just want you to know that if you're thinking about buying a system with Windows 11, I would highly, highly recommend that you plan on buying a system with Ubuntu, some form of Linux. It may be open sourced. It may be, not necessarily that same Windows feel. But the more you get away from Microsoft, the more you get away from big tech, the better off you will be. And one of the things that I've noticed is because a lot of people, I can't go to Linux and run my favorite Microsoft programs. Well, actually, you can. Because today's technology, some of the systems that I have, and I buy servers instead of I don't buy just workstations. I buy multi-socket motherboards where there's two sockets and so forth. And I know I'm getting into some technicalities for people that may not understand this, but my point is that with hardware today, with the core, with the new, even with a single socket motherboard and enough memory, with Linux, you can actually emulate a software environment, a Windows software environment on Linux that you wouldn't even know was, you know, suffering in performance at all. In the old days, running virtual machines to run a Windows installation, or I should say Windows applications, was really painful because it was just so slow. You know, you could be more productive actually pulling out a piece of paper and a pencil and writing. And even a person like myself with really bad penmanship, you know, felt that going to the hammer and chisel was a better way to go. But nowadays, those things have been mitigated. And as a matter of fact, I've been working with some folks that have been helping me edit. And if you haven't noticed, and if there's something that we need to edit, let me know. Because I'm actually getting help, and I don't want to expose the individual that's out in the Massachusetts area that is, you know, helping me with some, you know, with some dedicated, I can't say dedicated, but as time's available, she's editing and so forth. And so I appreciate that. I appreciate your help. And the more help you give me, the more productive I can be. But anyway, she doesn't use Windows, and she doesn't, I don't think she may use Apple, but it doesn't matter because this, it's like Star Office, it's like Open Office or what have you. I forget the name of it, but there's a technical term for it that it will run on Linux, it will run on Apple or what have you, and it pretty much interfaces with Word. It pretty much interfaces with the Microsoft products. And so my point is to you is that if you look at some of these software solutions, they're much cheaper. I mean, you want to bring your TOC, your total cost, or TCO, your total cost of your investment, your of operations, total cost of operations, your total cost, your investment down so that you're not paying so much. Then what you want to do is really start looking and walking away from what you've been indoctrinated to believe is a good thing. You know, like everybody kind of cited, because this came up too, how some people, oh, I'm an Apple guy, or I'm a Mac, or, you know, whatever on the Apple side. And then the Windows, it was just like, they actually got us to believe that it was a binary issue, that there was either or, and there was nothing else. And I'm telling you, and when they were actually dividing and so forth, there were operating systems called Unix, and then Linux came out towards the, you know, the real war between DOS, Apple, Mac, or Microsoft, what have you. And my point is this, folks, that these ancillary operating systems, these non-standard stream operating systems, whether it be Red Hat, whether it be CentOS or what have you, they've matured a lot, and this is one of the reasons why most businesses and big businesses use them, because they provide a level of stability that you're not going to get with this huge consumer crap that you're getting from Microsoft. So, and oh, by the way, I guess CES is supposed to be starting this weekend, but anyway, the long story is, when you really look at what Windows 11 has done, because you're going to realize that you may not be able to put Windows 11 on your existing system. And Windows, Microsoft Windows, they don't care. They don't care if you have to go out and buy a brand new, you know, piece of hardware with the Windows installed or what have you. And if you're doing that, and I don't know how many people can really afford to throw away, you know, because I don't know what a desktop system costs, because I don't buy them all packaged. I used to a long, long time ago, way back in the early 90s was the last time, because I started building them myself, and it became a lot. I don't build them myself anymore, but it's easier for me to buy the hardware and have somebody integrate the system, and I still pay less. I still pay less than buying these desktops for the system that I have, because it lasts 10 years. Most people have a desktop that lasts them 3-4 years. They live, I mean, it's on its last leg within 3-4 years. My point is this. We need to start breaking our paradigms and stop allowing these big corporations to funnel us in this, you know, this revenue stream that we get caught up in, that we're ending up paying for this kind of crap. If it comes with Windows 11, don't buy it. You need to start breaking away from these big tech, I'll just say, chains. I mean, they've got you under lock and key, and they've chained you down to their revenue streams. Don't do this anymore. Quit feeding the beast, okay? So one more thing, a couple more things, actually. The color-coded constitution, getting there further. I need to add some notes. Hope to have that done by this weekend. I did want to take a moment and talk about the Speaker of the House, as I said. I know that some of you have already been cogitating. Some of you have already made your mark that, you know, how is this even happening? Why is it that there's these potentials of, you know, how this can play out? Folks, we have a Republican form of government. In other words, we have a representative form of government. And somehow, down the road, the parties have completely taken over and have seized control of our government and have bypassed the entire Constitution in so doing. This is why we're seeing these things go sideways in just trying to establish leadership and a Speaker of the House. We'll be right back after these two promos.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so I've been clear, and I constantly remind people that we have a Republican form of government, one that's based on the Constitution as the rule of law, and one that is representative of the people. And so when we went down this path of creating these beasts called parties, now, Madison created a party, but it wasn't a beast. It was a party that was centered more and focused more on the Constitution. And that's why they became a dominating party for, over two decades, right? Because it was 1799 when the Republican Party really grew legs because of the Aliens and Sedition Acts. And then by the time Monroe was reelected in 1822, there were no votes cast for any other party or any other consideration other than the Republican on the ticket, or I should say the Republican that was running, which was James Monroe. So what happened, and how in the heck did we get into this mess? And more importantly, here's the question most of you are asking. How is Liz Cheney or anybody else that is not a duly elected person capable of being involved in leadership in our constitutional republic? How is it that they can actually bypass our elected process and allow a Speaker of the House to be somebody outside of the duly elected class of people in Congress? Ah, this is what compromise and parties bring. This is why I need to emphasize, you need to put your thinking caps on, folks. I need your help. And we need, and we literally need to get started on multiple, because I believe there are multiple petitions that we need to go after the parties for. And I'll just list a couple of them. First off, the fact that the leadership, the way it's being doled out in the House of Representatives, is unacceptable. That the parties should not be able to lock down who has access and representation. The Constitution should, and it shouldn't be party-based. It's unacceptable because you're an independent that you can't be a chair of a committee, a legitimate committee. The problem is they have way too illegitimate committees. The question is, why is it that we're not challenging committees? Why is it not within their protocol? Why is it not within their desktop procedures that a committee cannot be formed unless it is within the enumerated powers? For all of these different committees they've created, folks, it is all based on corruption. It is all based on corruption. So we actually have to demand that our government get back into the framework of a constitutional republic and a republican form of government. When you look at your state house, you have the exact same problem. When you have independents and maybe an outlier party, a libertarian or a constitution party, they never will be a leader. You want to create competition in the parties. You want to open up and force the parties, then first off, we have to close out all committees. So we need a petition that closes out any form of a committee that is not within the enumerated powers of that legislative body, whether that be at your state level or whether that be in Congress. If they don't have an enumerated power for energy, they can't have a power or any energy form of committee. Green energy, it doesn't matter. No EPA, they cannot have those committees unless it is formally delegated by the states via an amendment to them, period. End of story. Now, the one committee that they can have that is outside the delegated authority would be their legislative, or whatever you want to call it. It could be the catch-all under their exclusive legislation, because Congress does have exclusive legislation over the District of Columbia as well as over the territories. So if they want to have these little subcommittees and everything else that they want to have, you know, this control over D.C., but see, they ignored D.C. now. They enjoyed their exclusive legislation for the first century, you know, up until the, you know, prior to the Civil War, at least. But the Civil War and on, it has been the states and controlling the states and creating committees and usurping powers, because the states have fell asleep. The states are literally sleeping on the job. So we need to make a petition that actually locks down committees to being within the enumerated powers. Now, you'll find that a state will have a lot more enumerated powers because, you know, they're not tied to, well, they are tied to their constitution, but the people have actually delegated more power to the states. The other thing is that the at a state level, and even at the House level, the I don't believe whoever is in control, it should be based on party control. I believe that the party can actually choose who would be the chair of a legitimate committee. But you got to remember, by just eliminating all the illegitimate committees, really just shuts down the whole power game that they play. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to see The Swamp. You need to, Schweitzer's got a book that talks about, you know, how every congressman pays in and how all the Speaker of the House creates this huge war chest of money because all the money that's associated to the voting that these people, you know, get, and that money actually goes and kind of rewards the different parties to be able to inflict and inject that money into state races. They bypass everything. I'm telling you, when you really look at what they're doing, all of this stuff needs to be shut down. All of it. They have no constitutional authority to operate the way they're operating as a government. I mean, it is that bad. But we need to shut down this committee or this concept of committees that are not within enumerated powers. We also need to shut down that the overarching party in control gets to have control over the leadership of, you know, and the appointment of leadership. As a matter of fact, I believe that there needs to be, and if there's any committees whatsoever that a legislative body needs to form, then that committee will be doled out to each party and each party present. So in other words, getting one member of the Constitution Party in the House of Representatives, and let's say that there's four legitimate committees, right? There's one for foreign affairs, for the State Department. There's one for the Treasury and the finance and the printing of money and taxation or what have you. And let's say there's another one for wars and war assistance and so forth. And then let's say there's one for the general accounting and the other little business like post office, those types of things. And so once you've nailed down what these committees are, then, you know, okay, you just have a few of them. Well, who gets to chair them? It needs to be by draw. In other words, the first thing that happens is there is a draw. That, you know, and it doesn't matter who gets the draw. As a matter of fact, you can even have a draw to who gets the draw first. And then, you know, when the party can choose a representative that will basically, you know, go and pull lift the card or what have you. And I like this idea of cards or squares because this can all be done securely so that nobody has an advantage, so that nobody can get, you know, because you're the first in the queue, you will always get, you know, the desirable committee. There shouldn't be any desirable committees anyway, and it shouldn't be operating the way it does. But anyway, the first party that gets it gets to choose the chair, but it goes round robin back and forth as far as how many people sit on these committees. If it's a joint committee, then, you know, back and forth between the Senate and so forth. This eliminates the ability for a party to be able to dominate in the political side of this, and it focuses everything onto what is constitutional. I tell you what, if it's within the Constitution, it's not sexy, and politicians will go, well, what's the big deal? You know, when we get rid of all of these committees, when they can no longer have committees, they can't be involved in anything that's not enumerated, folks, they're going to be on vacations a lot more. There's no justification for them to even have to meet in D.C. except for the national security, those types of things. That might be another committee. But just so you understand, that means that it goes to one party first, it goes to another party next, and then it goes to another party, and then another party. So guess what? If you actually have a representative that is one representative in the Libertarian Party and one representative in the Constitution Party that is in Congress and in the Senate or what have you, then they get to be on every committee. because at least they get to be chosen in each of the committees as it goes around. They will be on and a voting member of each committee. This creates the advantage for competition, and it starts opening up and allowing all parties to be able to be a part of and lead in, because the Constitution Party and the Libertarian Party will be the chair of two particular committees, at least at a minimum. And they will be seated on every committee as at least a voting member. And so they will take up at least one chair in each. What this does is it basically blows up the monolithic or the single party controller from being able to control everything, and it moves everything really to more representative government. Anyway, let's go into the break, and we can talk a little bit more about this, but let's talk more about the petitions. We'll be right back after this.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416.
Okay, so we can't allow this party rule anymore. We need to actually get, and so it may be antithetical to go to the Republican Party, but it won't be antithetical to go to the Republican Party in a blue state, one would think. But nevertheless, we need to start calling out the county committeemen and the fact that the parties own and control a party committeeman that actually goes to your state legislature and conducts business on a party level and not on a county level. I don't care if they pay for it or not. It is giving the party access to our representation that is we need to look at these things as repugnant. And I'm hoping that what this does is it helps wake every Republican up and everybody that kind of likes that, you know, or I should say not likes, but is on the fence on whether the party system is good or not. Hope everybody starts recognizing how the party has hung us out to dry. The fact that they have done some things that have completely left us wide open to have a non-representative person sitting and leading the body of representatives of the people is absolutely unacceptable. Liz Cheney got her just reward from Wyoming. for not representing them, and having her removed was clearly proved that this woman is not a public servant. She was not serving the interest of Wyoming. Wyoming needs to go further and ban her from public service. As a matter of fact, the Wyoming state legislature, believe me, there's conversations going on right now with the Wyoming state legislature that they actually not only censor her, but they demand that she be banned for violating her oath of office for what she did. And if that's the case, if they pull Section 3 of the 14th Amendment out and actually remove her for what she did, then I'm telling you, folks, she can't be there. She cannot be involved in public service, whether she's appointed or whether she's elected. She cannot be involved in public service. And so if she gets seated, then believe you me, we're going to have an effort in Wyoming. We're going to see an effort in Wyoming trying to get her unseated by using Section 3 of the 14th Amendment by the state legislature. The state legislature can do this. And so the question is there enough conservatives and enough anti-Cheney people to actually be able to make this mark? Are there people that are, you know, have the integrity and the honor in Wyoming to actually say, you know, the party should not be controlling it the way it is? I mean, the party is in, they've got a death grip on this country, folks. And the only way to start breaking this is to start challenging it. And you have to challenge it at your county regarding your county committeeman. You need to start challenging the same thing with the way they dole out committees. The committees, it doesn't matter who the party is. You know, that gets the person in the door. The party should not have seized control because when we think about it, you may be voting on a party based on the ideology of a party that is different than the political party. As I told you, there are two completely different party systems. There is this thing we call the Republican and Democratic Party that has these what we'll call platforms, and, you know, the Democratic Party on both sides is communist, but the Republican Party on both sides is not the same, because you'll find conservatives and good people, for the most part, in the party, the voters and what have you. Most people that identify and vote Republican are, you know, frustrated with rhinos. I mean, rhino is a very common word amongst Republicans. The only people that are the rhinos are Democrats that claim to be Republican, and they're just trying to keep themselves from being outed too much of a rhino. And you know, once you, you know, because you jeopardize your position. It doesn't matter. I mean, you get to a point where you become so distasteful in your politics, you will not get reelected. So people will constantly vote and they'll have this blindness, but when it really starts standing out and you become a noticeable outlier that the, you know, the blind voters recognize that, you know, you're not who they really thought you were, they will not vote for you again. But on the inside in the politics, all those people that are playing, all those people that are, you know, back there, you know, in the party spectrum of politics within government. Now, they're protecting each other, and they're doing everything they can. Well, I have to take that back. The scrupulous, those who have no scruples, those who are corrupt, are protecting each other. It is those who are living dangerously, because if they get corrupted at all, they will be called out, they will be controlled, and life is over for them. But the very few that have scruples, the very few that aren't corrupt, well, they're out there struggling and trying to hold these other people accountable. This is why they need our help. We need to demand accountability. The Constitution demands that we demand accountability, because that's why we have the First Amendment petition for petitioning government for the redress of grievances. It's not about just moaning and groaning. It's all about being out and holding them accountable, being in their face and holding them accountable to their oath of office in supporting the Constitution. They're not there to support their party agendas, and that's all they've been doing. And that's why we're in this mess. So, when we start looking, we need to start talking about, you know, changing the party control. The fact that the party controls the, you know, who gets the chairs of all of these committees. Stop this. Demand that they open up the chairs to be a round robin offering. It doesn't matter. And as a matter of fact, it's not a round robin offering by party. It's a round robin. Actually, let's make it by party, because that way, if you have Libertarian and Constitution Party members in your state legislature, then they actually get to be on every committee at a minimum. If we start going down that, then we actually start seeing the advantage of the third party and a fourth party. The way they've got it, they have this lock control with this uniparty or this two-party system. So, unless, and as a matter of fact, what needs to also happen is that we need to start calling out people to say, you know, if you don't have a certain percentage of registered people in your party, in other words, if you're not even 20%, now I'm going to tell you right now that no state, not one state, has a 20% paid membership, party membership at all, either Republican or Democrat. Because most people will not pay a penny to the party system. They'll vote, and they'll blindly vote towards a party, but they think it's just wrong to have to pay for a party. And when they start, you know, doing that, they realize how corrupt the parties can be, and they don't want to have anything to do with it. This is why when we look at the vote outcome, they say, oh, well, there's 48% Democrats and 52% Republicans in this red state. But that's not the truth. There's still only the very few registered Republicans and registered Democrats. When you register with the party, you out yourself politically. You go onto a record where they actually have you on their rolls. And so, folks, if you really think about it, why is it that the party is in control when they're not the dominant? They may be dominant at the polls, but they're not dominant in representing the people. So I'm here to tell you that these legislative districts, as they start, you know, doling out at the state level these different chairships, who's going to be the chair, who's going to be the vice chair, who's going to be sitting on this, I believe that we would be better served, and I think that there's a petition here in demanding, as a representative government, that all parties be recognized that are within the elected body of a legislative body, that all parties be recognized equally, and that this way you have to basically divvy out equally the job and the work, because they all have to do the work. We haven't created a constitutional amendment to say that we surrendered to whatever the party's agenda is, and that's what's been going on. What is going on? And I honestly believe that you'll get courts that will actually rule in favor of this. The really good, open, liberal courts. There are a few of them. Folks, I know I've wasted a lot of time. I'm out of time on my third segment going over the party system and the party problem that they have created. But we have hope, because we have First Amendment petition. So I'm hoping that I've motivated at least somebody out there that's in a state that we don't have any movement on petitions right now, and get you willing to actually start challenging the party apparatus in your state, in your county, because they are the root of the problem. We'll be right back.
Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let's get those petitions out. Let's get those things moving and cranking. The more, as a matter of fact, I don't want to jinx myself, but I'm hoping by the end of this month we will be rounding up towards, in the teens, and towards 20 petitions, because I've got a lot of people that are committing, and I'm helping them work on these things. It's really important. And I mean, when you're working, because what ends up happening, and this has been going on in Wyoming, where we started off where the individuals really wanted to do a First Amendment petition against some very Wyoming-specific legislation regarding the Second Amendment and so forth. And what happens is you got to do a little bit of research. But I'm telling you, once you start doing research on issues, it really helps you recognize that as you're working on one petition, there's other petitions there. And especially over, you know, something even on a myopic case like the Second Amendment, because you start realizing how the militia is being violated and how the county structure is being marginalized and so forth and so on. And you go, huh, wow, we've got a lot of petitions that we can actually start ramming through just on, you know, just going down this one path on the Second Amendment. So when we talk about, you know, all of these different issues on a monthly basis, because I talk about them here on the show, but what we want to do is we want to actually have an open forum where you can actually call and you can bring up your question and what have you. And with the graciousness of the host, you'll actually have the time to, you know, to air, to talk about what your questions are, vent or what have you. I mean, it's an hour show of connecting people and getting people to start sharing, you know, what they're doing, what needs to be done, how to do things, that type of a conversation. I know an hour is difficult, and what we want to do is I'm going to have an itinerary on a weekly basis of what we're going to talk about. And so you need to get your question to me in advance. Our email is info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. So even though you may have my personal email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org is where you will get that information to me regarding the meeting. so that you can start participating. Now, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be listening. I mean, you know, there's probably going to be the NSA, the FBI. There's going to be a lot of people listening that are going to want to hear what you have to say. But what we want to do is we want to be honest, we want to be constitutional, we want to be, you know, forthright on what is right and what we have to do. Because we don't have anything to hide. Technically, we don't have anything to hide. The problem is we have a government that actually views people that are holding them accountable as the threat. They actually call us terrorists. And that right there is an out-of-control government itself. Government doesn't have that power to call its citizens that are holding them accountable to the rule of law terrorists. But we have progressed to a point to where evil is good and good is evil. And so let's just dive into the strategy, because I've got to get to this and we're almost out of time. So we've been talking about the Fourth Amendment and all of these other things. So one of the things that kind of came out of this that you were completely oblivious to, that I actually added while nobody was looking, is this concept of security, national security oversight. And so one of the things I've never done, but I've talked about how Snowden's not a hero and how the states have to have oversight over our national security, but there's no mechanism to do this. Bottom line, the states need to actually have open channels of communication so that they can actually step in at a minute's notice and reel the federal government back in to say, look, you know, you may have the power over this, but you can't construe where you know, exercising powers that we've not delegated. You know, there are still privileges and immunities that every U.S. citizen deserves. Every U.S. citizen is granted and shall be protected from our government. And so we'll get into that down the road. But getting back to the identity, person's information, so forth, and how big tech, you know, and this kind of reaches back to talking about Microsoft. It's not just about Microsoft and computers, folks. Technology is penetrating everything. Your car, you buy a brand new car, your car has a computer in it, and this computer has what they call onboard diagnostics, OBD. And the onboard diagnostics right now that you're buying in a car is so revealing that they basically know that's you driving by if you're driving in a new car. If they're looking for somebody, you've seen this on some of these crime drama shows, whether it be CSI or something like that, when they're trying to find somebody and they know that that person has that car, then, you know, they can actually follow that car by the onboard diagnostics. They know exactly where you are. Now, when we start looking, because it's like RFID spying. It's the RFIDs in your wallet, whether it be your credit cards, your ID, what have you. They're using technology to track you, and they're getting corporations and companies, banks, to all go down this path of netting and trapping you, so that almost any way, they have an ability to reach out and touch you and hurt you, isolate you and hurt you. That's not what the framers intended, folks. And as a matter of fact, the fact that they've got the agents, these corporations, to do their bidding for them so that, you know, they're an open source for them. They can go to the phone company and find out, you know, when is your phone being used? They can track you. And they do this even without a warrant. They need a warrant to listen, but just to find out where your phone is for an emergency case, I believe that they'll operate without a warrant. Folks, we have rights. And if you understand what we're talking about regarding your Fourth Amendment, being secure in your persons, being secure in your systems, being secure in all of your effects, then government and corporations should not be able to keep track of you. We need to have this firewall. We need to have this inability for them to make it just easy for them to do what they're doing. There's no restraints. We're living in a time where there literally is no restraints. And is that good or is that bad? When it comes to liberty, when it comes to people being able to choose for themselves, it's bad. The question is, what are we willing to surrender? Because there are a few bad people that will do bad things and hurt people. But I am telling you that those few bad people, those criminals that may be doing bad things where they might deserve a little bit of tracking, does far less damage than what government can do. Government can seize full control. Look at how many businesses government shut down over the pandemic. Not just your state, the federal and all the states. Across the states, our economy was put into shambles because they used unconstitutional authority. If this doesn't concern you, then you need to listen to this show more, because we've got a lot of other ways of looking at all of this. But we're at a point where they're doing so many things blatantly outside the Constitution that they are vulnerable at this point by public perception. It's about educating. And so these First Amendment petitions are literally educational documents that help people understand how the Constitution protects us from this type of tyranny, and how when government does these things, they're being tyrannical, they're operating outside the Constitution, and they should be removed for violating the Constitution and their oath of office. So what these things do, these petitions actually educate and invigorate you, the people. This is how you start understanding what this thing, the Constitution, really means. How government agencies, corporations, how all of these things are functioning outside the law. They're functioning in a world that is based on the color of law. Color of law is laws that are created without authority. So it's like the kids have kind of created their own rules and they've taken over the game. And we're literally living in a crazy world, and this is how they're making evil good and good evil. If you want to get involved, if you want to be a difference, if you want to be that difference in your local community, because, you know, there's plenty of people that, you know, focus on the national. We need to get people to stop focusing at the national level and focus at your local community. I'm here to help. I'm working with a lot of different groups, and your group could be one of them. We'd be happy to have you on our call. We'll be announcing that call hopefully by the end of the month. And so it'll be on Tuesdays from 5 p.m. Pacific, and I think that's 7 p.m. Eastern, so or 8 p.m. But anyway, we'll get into the details later. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing.